You all know why I'm here, not an orator. And I would not try to convince you of the worthiness of our cause. I'm a soldier, and we are at war.
We seem to never learn, here we go again. They rallied up the troops, God forgive the sin. Hidden agendas, can't we fight for truth? No, then there be no need to fight. Love isn't fatal, there's no fatalities. Hate supports US principalities. In this separation, we all suffer. We need to be in love with each other. This isn't training, actual invading. Depleted uranium is raining. Iraq, just know we don't have Bush's back. With a vicious attack, crossing borders with might. On foot catching flight. For hypocrisy, I will not fight. The Most High loves I, the word won't die. Even after all the times it's been revised. I've been shot by Charlton Heston, and he even autographed the weapon. The bullet was lodged in my left shin. I asked the doctor, and she kept it in.
The stress of waiting for the tension of battle, readying to make war, making peace with their God.
That guy is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Before their baptism of fire.
This is Truth, Love, Freedom. .org. Thank you for tuning in to my first ever podcast for the website truthlovefreedom.org. Please stop by and visit it. I'm going to be posting a lot of information there. I have a forum where you can chat and post videos. I have a lot of video on there. But you can, you know, register, just say hi, post a comment, a question, just let me know that you're out there so I'm not just talking to myself and wasting my time. truthlovefreedom.org is a website I started because I have a number of political and religious views that I want to share with society. I consider it to be unique to me, although I think most people consider themselves unique. I know there's other people who believe what I believe, but I don't believe that they believe it the way I believe it, if that makes any sense. So I am going to share with you just a number of bits of information. This is going to be a very informative podcast. I'm going to drop my opinions between information, and I want to make a distinction between when it's information and when it's my opinion, because, I mean, in the news today, I mean, the lines are blurred. It's like it's opinion, it's fact. Which is it? Is it news? Is it, you know? Is it just someone's commentary? You can't seem to tell. I mean, it's basically the same scenario every time where they're trying to push some kind of belief onto you and blur those lines so you can't make the distinction. Well, I want to make the distinction. I'm going to give you information, and I'm going to tell you about the information that I gave you, and in a way that it's going to assume that I'm right. But then as time goes on and other podcasts develop, you'll see that I'm going to try to prove the things that I say, if that makes any sense. And then I'm going to give you my own commentary about how I feel about it, what I think. I was debating on whether or not I should reveal right off the bat what I believe. And I really don't think that I should. Now, I know that if you're listening, you're like, oh, great. Now I'm going to have to listen to this guy ramble on about stuff and not know what the hell he's getting at. But I think it'll become clear very quickly because this stuff is pretty hard-hitting. I am going to tell you about stuff that most people don't know about. And that may sound a little suspicious, but it's true. Most people don't know what's going on in the world today. And there's a lot of information that's purposely suppressed. So a lot of this podcast is going to be dealing with suppressed information. I do a number of teachings. I'm not going to tell you the name of the teachings that I do, but I do teachings. I just recently started that. I shouldn't say teachings because I've only done a couple. I thought to myself, this is a great way to get information out to people because it's over the net. It's recorded. You can listen to it over and over again. You can research what I say. Where teachings, I exhaust a lot of my energy. So I think it's a really useful tool. So that's why I'm doing it. So without, you know, giving you too much more information, and I'll tell you a little bit more about myself as time goes on, I just want to get right into it. I'm going to start with small podcasts just to see if I can get any listeners, if it's people who are interested. I don't want to sit here and exhaust myself for 2 hours talking and have nobody listen to it. So, and some of these podcasts are going to seem like they're unrelated, but they are related. Don't be mistaken about that. The first topic I want to discuss today is the idea that seems to be pushed, has been pushed for quite some time now. It's not a new idea, but it's an idea that's gained momentum. And it's the idea of a world government. Now, without giving you any of my opinions on what I feel about that, some people would say that it's impossible. Some people would say, well, that sounds like a good idea. In fact, actually, it was really funny that I had a conversation with some coworkers the other day where I told them, I said, you know, there's a world government agenda at work here. They're pushing for it, and it's going to happen. And actually, they're saying now that they're going to unite Canada, the United States, and Mexico by the year 2010. And you should have seen the look on their face. They were just like, at first, they didn't believe me. I had to print out the document proving it. Then they were like, wow, that's insane. And here's the funny thing about it. That's basically the reaction you're going to get from any American, at least. I'm not sure if just Americans are going to be listening to this podcast. Probably not. But most Americans do not like the idea of losing our sovereignty as a nation. We really do reject this idea of a world government. But here's the problem. Nobody seems to know that it's happening. And if nobody knows that it's happening, they can't seem to... I really have a hard time believing that they're going to do anything about it. I mean, if you don't know about it, how can you stop it? And it's going on right now. It's being pushed. I mean, the news reports it here and there. It's kind of a little bit here, a little bit there. One great person who seems to be reporting on it regularly is Lou Dobbs. I'm really happy that he's doing that. It's good to see mainstream media doing something good for a change. But you need to make this, you need to let this like sink in and really become a reality. I'm going to try to drive it home for you because I want you to know that this is an agenda that's at work. Now, I'm not going to get into right now what started this agenda. I'm not going to get into the, who's pushing it or why they're doing it or anything like that. I just want to convince you that it's there. First thing you need to do is understand the various names by which this world government is relayed to the public. And sometimes they'll talk about it in speeches. George Bush Senior and Junior have both mentioned it in a speech. And most people heard it and didn't even know what the heck they were talking about. Well, one of the main name it seems to have taken on in the last 100 years is, and trust me, this idea of a world government predates the last 100 years. It's called the New World Order. Just recently in history, it's actually taken on other names as well. It's not just the New World Order anymore. It's the New International Order, the New Economic Order. Well, if the golden rule is true, which is he who has all the gold makes all the rules, if that statement is true, or if you believe that that statement is true, then it's not hard to imagine that a world economy is the same as a world government. They're really no different. World economy leads to world government. Where the money goes, the politicians follow. So you'll hear the new economic order, the world economic system, and they're always using economy as the reasoning for going into a world government, but that's not really the reason. And most people would be surprised to know this, but this idea of a world government is a religious idea. And you're like, well, what do you mean by religious? Well, there is a religion that pushes this idea that many of these politicians belong to, and they don't admit it. They don't tell people. You can find out. There is plenty of evidence for this, and I'm going to prove it. Or I'm going to give you the evidence. I'm not sure if I'm going to prove it. That's going to be up to you, whether or not you think it's valid or not. But there is a religion that exists that is pushing this agenda, and they're in our governments of the world, and they're pushing very hard. And I want to drive that home, so I'm going to play a number of clips, and I want you to listen not just for the word New World Order or New International Order or New Economic Order or whatever it is that they're going to say, New Order of the Ages. I want you to listen for what they're saying about it. And you always hear peace, prosperity. Yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Let me go ahead and get into some clips here. And I'll make some commentary between them because I want to make sure we bring to attention certain aspects of what's being said. I'm going to start with George W. Bush. I'm going to play Henry Kissinger. There's also a member of the Baha'i Faith speaking about this topic. I have a clip from a television show, and I haven't had TV in 7 years, so I don't really watch TV. I catch it here and there, maybe when I'm at somebody else's house or something, but I don't watch TV. But I'm not totally blind. I have internet, so I know that there's, you know, certain shows out. I don't really know what show this is. I just kind of stumbled across it on the internet, but I want to go ahead and play it because it's an interview with a guy from the Council on Foreign Relations. If you don't know who the Council on Foreign Relations are, I definitely going to be talking about that in a future podcast, but I think you should do some research and check up on this Council on Foreign Relations because they are very much behind pushing the world government. So I'm going to play these clips, and I think maybe a few others after that, and I'll comment between them.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
The problem of the Bush presidency will be the emergence of a new international order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international order.
The beginning of a new international order, and it could well be that this president, who is so reviled by intellectuals, will emerge as one of the seminal presidents of his period.
Let's assume
of American and modern history.
One of the seminal presidents.
He could.
Could. What does he have to do to achieve that status?
Well, he has to do certain things, and he has to have some luck. Although I believe that, I believe in the Branch Rickey statement.
When he was a general manager,
luck is
Dodgers.
The residue of design.
What did he say?
He said, luck is the residue of design.
Okay. That was Henry Kissinger. First one was George Bush. A new international order, new world order. Talking about a global system. I'm going to also play some other clips now. Keep listening for the wording. Don't lose track of it. I want to make sure that you hear what's being said because it's important. If this podcast is going to be worth anything, it needs to drive home at least the fact that there is an agenda at work.
With all the dislocations we now experience, there also exists an extraordinary opportunity to form for the first time in history a truly global society, carried up by the principle of interdependence.
So he used the term evil empire, and some of the liberals in New York were wringing their hands and going crazy. Oh, this is terrible. This is the end of everything. He doesn't know how to conduct foreign affairs. And sure enough, a lot happened on his watch that was very, very positive towards a new world order, towards a peace.
The decade of the 1990s was meant to have been one in which a new international order, free of the bipolar rivalry of earlier days, was to have been established. Australia is a Western nation. Nothing can, will, or should alter that fact. As such, in this new world, we are a terrorist target.
Okay. I hope by listening to that, you're starting to become more clear that we're talking about a global government. So why are they talking about peace? What's peaceful about a global government? Well, they always talk about the bipolar aspect of the world that no longer exists, which was the United States and the Soviet Union sharing the power, which made them a threat to one another. That it was because of this aspect of there being more than one power in the world that caused a lot of fear and war and whatnot. So the idea is that, you know, by having various governments, what you have is people at war with each other. You have economic issues colliding. You have social and political issues colliding. So the only way to prevent that from colliding is to eliminate the borders and allow international, what they call international cooperation of goods and services, of pretty much everything, politics. It becomes part of a world court where things are decided, and everybody still remains as like a unit of this united government, but it is essentially under the dictate of a world court and a world system. So let me play a few more clips. Not sure what this one's going to be. Let me check it real quick. Okay, this is a news report about 9/11. And this is a news clip about the New World Order that Bush talked about, and he'll talk about the redistribution of power. Well, I mean, I don't know what he doesn't get specific on what that redistribution of power is, but I want you to pay attention to the fact that he says that, because the redistribution of power does not necessarily mean America is keeping itself as the head of the world as a global superpower. He is referring to the distribution of power for the entire world, which includes the United States, and it's not exactly, I think, something that Americans want to do, is to distribute our power elsewhere. So listen closely.
Following the Gulf War, most Americans thought the United States had reestablished itself as a strong and powerful world leader. President Bush referred to a new world order emerging.
We've already done a good deal of thinking and planning for the post, and Secretary Baker has already begun to consult with our coalition partners on the region's challenges. There can be and will be no solely American answer to all these challenges, but we can assist and support the countries of the region, be a catalyst for peace.
The direction of international politics is no longer guided by two world powers, the United States and the Soviet Union. The post-Cold War era may be more complicated. The nations of the world will be faced with problems that demand international cooperation.
Well, a new world order is somewhat vague as a concept. It could refer to the new distribution of power. The world's no longer bipolar. It could also refer to a sense of being a just world order, which isn't the same thing. Sometimes we fail to distinguish those. For example, the Cold War had a bipolar order, but it wasn't particularly just. A new world order will not be bipolar. There'll be more of a diffusion of power among many actors, and we don't yet know whether we can set up institutions and agreements that will get it broadly accepted as just.
Okay, well, that was very revealing, I think. I'm going to play some more clips. The next clip I'm going to play is from the Baha'i Faith. And the reason I'm playing this is because the Baha'i Faith is a religious organization. It is a religion. You can do some research on that. I'm going to be talking more about that in the future. I'm going to go into religion specifically and talk about various subjects involving them. But I mentioned that the New World Order is a religious idea, and it is a religious idea. And that's why you're not going to just hear politicians talking about it. You're going to hear religious people talking about it. Matter of fact, if you really trace it back, it comes, I mean, there's religious people talking about it throughout all history. It's only, recent history that the politicians are on the same page. And obviously it's because they are a part of that religion. So without getting into too much detail, let me go ahead and play the next clip. I find myself getting ahead of myself. I don't want to get too far ahead because I kind of lose people. So, bear with me. My first podcast, I'm learning how to do all this stuff and communicate effectively, in a way that I think that will keep you interested and not have you shutting off the podcast on me. But, here is the clip from the Baha'i Faith.
The democratically elected international executive of the Baha'i community works here in the seat of the Universal House of Justice. Like the thousands of elected Baha'i councils around the world, it functions on the basis of mutual deliberation and consultation. The foundation of the New World Order envisaged by Baha'u'llah rests on this principle of consultation.
Now, just for the sake of making sure that the next clip that I play from George W. Bush isn't confusing, just to let you know, like I said, this is a religious idea, this world government, the New World Order and whatnot. But this religious idea does not come from a recent religion in history. It's actually an ancient religion. It predates pretty much most of the religions that we know of today. And actually, most of the religions that we know of today come from this particular religion. And I'll get into that. I know it's vague. And they refer to it sometimes as the secret teachings of the ages, and this of the ages and that of the ages. You'll hear the word ages a lot because it's an ancient concept, this religion, and its influence on politics is second to none. I mean, it's amazing how influential it is, especially in the world today, but it gets very little recognition as such. But I'm going to go ahead and play this clip. This is from George Bush Jr. and or George W., if you'd rather hear that, the W. George Bush, he says, the new order of the ages. Now, that may not mean much to you, but if you listen to what he says around it, on the, you know, before and after he says the new order of the ages, it makes it clear that I'm perfectly correct in what I'm saying. And the reason why I say that is because if I had not told you that, you probably would hear this and be like, what, you know, not even hear what he's saying. And that's typically what happens when these guys give speeches, because they use a lot of words that, unless you're familiar with this religion, you're not going to be familiar with what they're talking about. So let me play George W. Bush and see if it you can really hear it.
We have confidence because freedom is the permanent hope of mankind, the hunger in dark places, the longing of the soul. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, when soldiers died in wave upon wave for a union based on liberty, when citizens marched in peaceful outrage under the banner Freedom Now, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled.
Okay, you heard the new order of the ages. You heard they were acting on an ancient hope. Now, if you were to listen to that and you didn't really know what you're listening to, it wouldn't make any sense to you. But if you, and matter of fact, it almost seems to imply that the founding of America was the foundation of liberty, where the people, you know, were free. And that is the new order, because that wasn't in existence before this. And that I would totally agree with you. However, I have a lot of other information that proves that to be false, that that's not what he was talking about. That's kind of how he was trying to make it sound, but he was definitely sending a message during that speech. I want to play another clip, and I want to play a clip that is about September the 11th. There was a news report, and I want you to hear the use of the New World Order again. It's going to come toward the end, but I want you to hear kind of what he's saying, because basically what they're saying is that, you know, the New World Order is this, you know, peaceful force, or that there's a world of chaos out there, and the order. The order that's going to come about is going to be good for society. And they use a lot of disasters. You always hear the New World Order after a lot of disasters. They always say, oh, yeah, you know, like we had Kissinger earlier talking about how September 11th could be the thing that helps bring about a New World Order if Bush, you know, applies himself adequately. He didn't say – he said he has to do some things and have some luck, but he didn't say what those things are. If you read his books, you'll definitely know what those things are. He makes it pretty clear what has to happen. So, and of course, I'll get into that later, but let me play this clip.
Five years ago, on a morning marked by chaos.
He's being hijacked. We don't know where he's going.
Confusion.
I don't know where I'm scrambling these guys to.
And cries for help from the cockpit of one of the hijacked planes. The two federal agencies charged with defending our skies, the FAA and North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, were without a direct line of communication, essentially flying blind during 109 minutes of terror.
We could not see what the FAA could see. That was the main stumbling point, if you like.
General Eric Finley was in the hot seat that sunny September day deep inside Cheyenne Mountain at NORAD's top secret defense site.
Three of those planes including United 93, go down without any sort of military response at all.
It's not satisfactory. It's not a success. No. But that was not our mission on that particular day.
For decades, NORAD had been fixated on threats coming from outside our borders, a Cold War mindset that no longer applied.
We had no capability, really, to start looking in because all of our radars looked out.
Not anymore. Welcome to U.S. Northern Command, or NORTHCOM, in the new world order of our nation's defense.
Okay, it was a day marked by chaos. Did you hear that? Chaos. And this NORAD, this military-industrial complex, is the new world order of our nation's defense. That the enemy is no longer outside of the United States, but within. And if you listen to what George Bush is saying, he's saying, oh yes, we have to change the Constitution, we have to take away civil liberties. I have to be able to tap your phone and do all this stuff because this is what it's going to take for me to defend this country, because the enemy is not outside of us anymore. It's inside of us. We are the enemy within ourselves. So, of course, the answer to that, the New World Order. And the New World Order has a certain way of existing. It seems to be a lot like a police state for some reason, and I'm going to talk more about that. But first, I want to place, I'm sure I'm going to talk about that on a later podcast because this is already getting pretty long, 26 minutes now. So I'm going to play a couple more clips. These are going to be a bit longer. Bear with me. I'm going to play them back to back. They're both Lou Dobbs, and he's a reporter on CNN, and he does a really good job on covering this topic because nobody else seems to cover it. I haven't seen anything else in the news that has been against it. Everything else has been in favor of it. I think it's really awesome that he's doing it. But let me go ahead and play these clips. That way you can get an understanding that this world government is coming. Right now they are trying to unite the United States, Mexico, and Canada. And it talks about this document. Once again, we're talking about the Council on Foreign Relations. It's their document called Creating a North American Community. Go to my website, look under the category topic, World Government, and I have the document there where you can download it and read it. And I suggest that you do. You really should read it because I don't want you to believe what I'm telling you. I really do. I want you not to believe me. I want you to not believe me with everything that you have. And I want to present my information because I want you to be skeptical because I don't think you should believe anybody today. There's a lot of people out there trying to push their opinions and agendas. I'm not one of them, but I'm trying to tell you something because I really care about people and I want people to know the truth. And I really think this is going to be harmful to the future of our country and to the people in it. There is a plan that's being laid out. Some call it a conspiracy. Well, you can call it whatever you want. I call it an agenda. And I think it can be stopped. I hope it can be, at least. I have a lot of hope for things like that. But in order for us to work together and to change this world for the better, we really need to understand what forces are at work against us and what our will is. So listen to what they're talking about. Council on Foreign Relations, look it up. Read the document if you want more evidence so you can really understand it. But here's a report from Lou Dobbs on that topic.
Border security is arguably the critical issue in this country's fight against radical Islamist terrorism. But our borders remain porous, so porous that 3 million illegal aliens entered this country last year, nearly all of them from Mexico. Now, incredibly, a panel sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations wants the United States to focus not on the defense of our own borders, but rather create what effectively would be a common border that includes Mexico and Canada. Christine Romans has the report.
On Capitol Hill, testimony calling for Americans to start thinking like citizens of North America and treat the U.S., Mexico, and Canada like one big country.
The best way to secure the United States today is not at our two borders with Mexico and Canada, but at the borders of North America as a whole.
That's the view in a report called Building a North American Community. It envisions a common border around the U.S., Mexico, and Canada in just 5 years. A border pass for residents of the three countries, and a freer flow of goods and people. Task Force member Robert Pastor.
What we hope to accomplish by 2010 is a common external tariff, which will mean that goods can move easily across the border. We want a common security perimeter around all of North America so as to ease the travel of people within North America.
Buried in 49 pages of recommendations from the task force, the brief mention, we must maintain respect for each other's sovereignty. But security experts say folding Mexico and Canada into the U.S. is a grave breach of that sovereignty.
That's what would happen if anybody serious were to embrace this strategy for homogenizing the United States and its sovereignty with the very different systems existing today in Canada and Mexico.
Especially considering Mexico's problems with drug trafficking, human smuggling, and poverty. Critics say the country is just too far behind the U.S. and Canada to be included in a so-called common community. But the task force wants military and law enforcement cooperation between all three countries.
Indeed, an exchange of personnel that bring Canadians and Mexicans into the Department of Homeland Security.
And it wants temporary migrant worker programs expanded with full mobility of labor between the three countries in the next 5 years.
The idea here is to make North America more like the European Union. Yet just this week, voters in two major countries in the European Union voted against updating the European Constitution. So clearly, this is not the best week to be trying to sell that idea.
Americans must think that our political and academic elites have gone utterly mad at a time when 3.5 years, approaching 4 years after September 11th, we still don't have border security, and this group of elites is talking about not defending our borders, finally, but rather creating new ones. It's astonishing.
The theory here is that we are stronger together, three countries in one, rather than alone.
Well, it's a mind-boggling concept. Christine Romans, thank you as always. The Bush administration's open borders policy and its decision to ignore the enforcement of this country's immigration laws is part of a broader agenda. President Bush signed a formal agreement that will end the United States as we know it, and he took the step without approval from either the U.S. Congress or the people of the United States. Bill Tucker reports.
The Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America sounds benign, hardly like a policy that critics call NAFTA on steroids. It's a deal that few have even heard of.
It's being done again by very few people at the very top on behalf of the investment class, but the working class of people, political officials across our country from communities, from cities and so forth, they don't know anything about this.
Yet it was agreed to by Mexico's President Fox, Canada's Prime Minister Martin, and President Bush in 2005. Administration officials counter their critics by saying everything about SPP is on the White House website, and they say the partnership is not a treaty, but more of an outline of priorities between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Still, some wonder why there haven't been public discussions about the goals being pursued.
This SPP includes, for instance, a committee that is sitting down to harmonize our meat inspection and food safety. So how far away from a trade agreement can your dining room table and what you feed your kids be?
Other parts of the agreement mention border security as an issue, which include all of North America. In fact, the name of the agreement is not Security and Prosperity of the United States, but of North America.
When we elect officials, we expect them to act on our behalf. When we get involved in cooperative frameworks with other countries for joint regulation of fisheries or rail transportation or the skies, we're basically sharing our sovereignty with that government and outsourcing some of what we give our elected officials.
As disturbing as some find SPP, there is legislation in the House introduced by Florida's Catherine Harris that closely resembles the goals of the partnership. Included in that bill is a section which calls for the securing of Mexico's southern border by the United States and Canada. Lou, that's not the border with the United States. That's the border they share with Belize and Guatemala.
The idea that the White House would respond that this is on their website, this involves intricate workings amongst the Commerce Department of this country, and Canada and Mexico's, of course. A regional prosperity and security program. This is absolute ignorance. And the fact that we reported this, we should point out, when it was signed. But as we watch this thing progress, these working groups are continuing, they're intensifying. What in the world are these people thinking about?
Well, they say, look, these are a declaration and an outline of our priorities. And when I called them today, Lou, they said I was the first phone call they had received literally since the deal was first signed. So people are not paying attention, and they're letting them, in fact, get away with this.
You know, I was asked the other day about whether or not I really thought the American people had the stomach to stand up and stop this nonsense, this direction from a group of elites in absolute contravention of our law, of our Constitution, every national value. And I hope, I pray that I'm right when I said yes. But this is beyond belief. Bill Tucker, thank you very much. It brings us to the subject of our poll tonight. Do you think maybe somebody should take a vote if we're going to merge the United States with Canada and Mexico? Maybe, you know, people like you and me vote. Yes or no? Please cast your vote at LouDobbs.com. We'll have the results for later in the broadcast. Coming up, a measure to raise wages for the...
Okay, so that was Lou Dobbs. Hope it's hitting home. And I got a lot more where that comes from. I got quotes and books that are written by leaders that basically state this stuff. I got news clips and interviews, and oh man, it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you hang in there. Give it a fair hearing. Be skeptical. That's my motto. Be skeptical by all means. I'm not really concerned if you're skeptical, because I believe that if you hang in there and you listen to all the evidence and you are a logical person, you will be convinced that I'm correct. And if I'm not correct, I want to hear you tell me I'm not correct, and I want to hear why exactly, because I don't want to be in error. So basically, just for the structure of this podcast, I'm going to end with a couple more clips. This one's going to be an interview with a guy from the Council on Foreign Relations who was under Kissinger, which you heard twice. And he just slips in the words world order real quick toward the end. But listen to what he says towards the beginning. In the middle, it's kind of like, I didn't want to edit it because I don't like chopping things up too much. But listen to what he says at the beginning. And then listen to what he says at the end. He'll talk about Hamiltonians and Jeffersonians and all that stuff. And that stuff's not really that important. But if you listen to what he says about America's agenda and how they're going to spread across the world using economy, it's very revealing. So listen closely to what's being said, as always. And I'm going to come back with one last little statement, and then I'm going to end this podcast.
All right, he's the Henry A. Kissinger Senior Fellow in U.S. Foreign Policy at the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of Power, Terror, Peace, and War. Please welcome my guest, Walter Russell Mead, ladies and gentlemen. Walter. Walt, in your book, you talk about America's grand strategy. What is that currently?
Well, it's really something we inherited from the English, which is, let's keep a balance of power in Europe and a balance of power in Asia so nobody's really strong enough to challenge us at home. And then let's trade with everybody. Let's build a global trading, finance, economic system that makes us rich enough to afford to keep the balance of power in those places. And that is basically what we've been doing since the Second World War.
And now our detractors say that we're imperialists. Does that make us imperialists?
Well, you know, they said a lot of nasty things about the English, too, but...
But they were imperialists, weren't they?
I know, they were evil and wicked, unlike us.
They did set up camp and stay there, and oftentimes...
No, right. A real difference between us and the English is the English had this compulsion to paint parts of the map pink. You know, they wanted India to be pink, Canada, and so on. We really don't. I mean, our sense is that it's better if people run their own countries in their own way.
Now, you say that there are four approaches to foreign policy. We have Hamiltonians, Jeffersonians, Wilsonians, and Jacksonians. I know Jacksonians are the ones that go through attorneys left and right, but maybe you could explain explain each of those four groups. Hamiltonians first. What's that approach mean?
Okay, well, Hamiltonians say, look, we're going to be like England. Let's do it right. England was the most successful state in modern history. We need a big navy. We need a strong army. We need to really work our economy, our capital markets, so we stay ahead of everybody on top of the world. George Bush the first, that administration was a pretty Hamiltonian administration.
Next up, Jeffersonian.
Jeffersonians say, think Ralph Nader when you think Jeffersonians. They say this American project, La Cosa Nostra, this English Anglo-American thing, is a danger. It's a bunch of the U.S. government supporting greedy corporations or getting ourselves in trouble overseas. If we had less involvement overseas, we'd be in less trouble. They hate us because we're there. If we go home, they won't hate us anymore.
And the Wilsonians?
The Wilsonians say it's not trade that makes the world go round. It's democracy. It's our principles. If you really want to make this, the heart of the English system isn't like those Hamiltonians think, trade and security. It's democracy and the rule of law. Let's spread our principles around the world. Then we will have the world order that we're trying to build.
Is that neocons?
Neocons are a type of Wilsonian. Some, their opponents would say mutant Wilsonians. They would say, I think, evolved.
Okay, I hope this podcast has been very informative for you. I'm going to post a lot of information on my website as it comes available. I always watch the news and post information regarding these topics and other topics. And if you go to my website, you'll have a little bit more understanding of where I'm coming from. But don't freak out and don't, you know what I'm saying, don't get on there and start passing judgments about what it's all about until you really give me a fair hearing. That's all that I ask. You continue to listen to my podcast. Be critical, but listen and check on the information that I give you. See if I'm correct or if I'm wrong. I'm going to be doing these probably at least once a month. I'm hoping to do it once every 2 weeks, and I may even do it just because, you know, sometime during the week I have time and I feel passionate about a particular subject. So I hope this was informative, and please go to my website, truthlovefreedom.org, register at the forum, say what's up. I have a map on there where you can post where your location is, and that would be really cool because I need some encouragement to keep doing these things. It would feel good to know that people are actually listening and interested in what I have to say. So with that, I'm going to sign out. Peace, love, and I'll hope to see you on the forum.
When our founders declared a new order of the ages, when soldiers died in wave upon wave for a union based on liberty, when citizens marched in peaceful outrage under the banner Freedom Now, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled.
I get a feeling there's going to be a riot.
I don't read the newspapers because they all have ugly print.
At the starting of the week, at Summit Talks you'll hear them speak. It's only Monday. Negotiations breaking down. See those leaders start to frown. It's Sword and Gun Day. Tomorrow never comes until it's too late.
Come, come, come with it.
Let's go.
escalation, devastation, generation, separation, situation, dissipation. Shot, another shot, another shot. The tender vessel crushing, pop the heart is cold, the gun is hot. Shot, I'm not sure if they done or not. I'm not sure that they wanna stop. The gun is cold, the blood is hot. Shot, 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 shot. The hearts are weak, the guns are not.